Mr. Chairman and friends, time is passing, as time always does pass, and it seems that we are now drawing to the end of our course on an introduction to Tibetan Buddhism. And this is, in fact, this evening, the last lecture but one. Let me just remind you before we begin that the first half of the series, the lectures comprising the first half of the series, were more historical and, as it were, even institutional in character. But the second half of the series, the second group of four lectures, seems to be rather more practical, rather more, if you like, religious or spiritual. The week before last, therefore, beginning this second group within the series, we dealt with symbols of Tibetan Buddhist art. And last week, as you may recollect, we dealt with the four foundation yogas of the Tibetan Buddhist Tantra. Now today, we come, in our seventh lecture, to the most practical, we might also say the most religious, the most spiritual aspect of all. We come to something which constitutes the heart in many ways of the spiritual life. That is, we come to Tibetan Buddhist meditation. Now, we may say in a general way that meditation or dhyana is an important aspect not only of Tibetan Buddhism but of all schools, of all Buddhist traditions whatsoever, whether one examines the Theravada teachings or those of the general Mahayana, whether Indian or Far Eastern, whether one looks at the Tendai school, whether one looks at even the Shin school, one finds that meditation in one form or another is an important aspect, an integral part of each and every one of them. And this isn't surprising because from the very beginnings of Buddhism, if we go right back to the Buddha's own teaching, so far as we can make that out, so far as we can decipher it, it does seem that an emphasis, a very great emphasis often, was placed upon what we call meditation. If we let our thoughts go back to the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path, about which we spoke last winter, if we go back to that path, then we find that the last three steps or stages or aspects, that of the perfect effort, the perfect awareness, and the perfect samadhi, these are all concerned in one way or another with what we call meditation. And then if we go to that other great formulation of the path of the bodhisattva, the path of the six or the ten perfections or transcending virtues, then we find that the fifth of these, the fifth paramita, the fifth perfection, the fifth transcending virtue is this same dhyana or samadhi or meditation. And if we look among the schools of Buddhism, we see that some are concentrating more upon ethics, others are concentrating more upon metaphysics, but some, and among them one of the most famous of all Buddhist schools, the Chan school, the Zen school, specializes, as it were, in meditation, in dhyana, even though it isn't perhaps quite meditation in the ordinary, in the conventional sense. So from all these facts, from all these considerations, we can understand that meditation is important, occupies an important place, an integral place, we may say, not only in Tibetan Buddhism, but in the whole Buddhist tradition, as exemplified by all schools. Now, most of you I know have got some idea of what meditation is all about. Many of you, I know as I look around, many of you do attend one or another of the meditation classes which we hold in the course of the week at Sakura in our shrine and meditation center there. And some of you I know again have attended one or another of our retreats when, amongst other things, we meditate sometimes for 3 or 4 or 5 or even more hours a day for 7 days or 10 days, as the case may be. But just as it were to refresh your memories and also perhaps to provide a little guidance for those who haven't practiced meditation or who may be a little in the dark as to what it is all about, let me just briefly, by way of an introduction to Tibetan Buddhist meditation, let me briefly recapitulate the main stages of the meditation experience.